Now, this past week, as Pastor Andrew referred to the prayer meeting Thursday morning at 10 a.m., as I was sitting in there, and we had kind of closed, and we had said amen, and I just looked up on the wall, and you can see a picture here this morning of the lyrics to the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the third line there, it says this, it says, All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. And isn't that just so much truth in that? And I just kind of wrestle through the thought of, like, whose hand? Whose hand are we talking about? Are we talking about God the Father? Are we talking about God the Son, Jesus? Are we talking about God the Holy Spirit? And I want to just dig a little bit deeper into that thought. So let's turn to John, 1 John chapter 5. Now, 1 John is about a story as John is telling us he's in his older years, and perhaps he's probably the only surviving apostle at the time. He hadn't quite been banished to the island of Patmos where he would write the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. John wrote this book to reassure Christians in their faith and to counter false teachings, which I will show you a little bit later in the message. As an eyewitness to Jesus Christ, he wrote with authority to give a new generation of believers assurance and confidence in God. And as every generation comes to faith in Christ, they need to be reassured. That's why we look at the Bible. We look at the gospel. We're trying to teach people truth. So here in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 6, it says this. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. So in this passage of Scripture, there's two truths. So let me share the first one with you. Inwardly, the Holy Spirit is renewing us day by day. And if we think about this outwardly, we're saved, we're free from sin and death because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So inwardly and outwardly, in a sense, we're defiled, because inwardly we know that our own thoughts and our own motives and our own thoughts, our ideas sometimes, we're like, we question those. We think, well, that's not a good thought. And outwardly, you know, because of our sin, we do things externally. And so there's two different understandings here. So if we think about inwardly, the pollution of our sin nature, that, you know, Adam and Eve sinned, so we as a sense are the DNA of that. We have a sin nature, and we need to be saved of that. So we need cleansing from spiritual water as it kind of reaches our soul. It cleanses us inwardly. Let me show you a piece of scripture that will refer to that. Titus 3, verse 5. In Titus 3, verse 5, it says, He saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus, our Savior. So we see that we didn't come to faith and salvation because of what was going on inside us. We thought, oh, we're so good internally that we are going to get saved. No, it's because the Holy Spirit is washing and cleansing us day by day, mercy new every day. And God is like, you need a lot of it. I need to be very generous with you because we need to clean house. So we see inwardly that God is cleaning us through the Holy Spirit. We see outwardly that by the guilt and the condemning power of sin, by this we're separated from God. And we're banished really from His presence, from a heavenly presence forever. So for this reason, though, we are purged by His atoning blood. As Jesus hung on the cross and we come to communion, we remember that is the blood that saved us. Let me just show you two verses that refer to that. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. Outwardly clean, we see that again. In Numbers chapter 19, verse 9, it also says this, A man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and put them in a ceremonially clean place outside the camp. They shall be kept by the Israelite community for use in the water for cleansing. It is for a purification of sin. We can see that outwardly we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. It goes on to say in Romans chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because of his forbearance or his mercy. He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So by the blood, we're justified, we're reconciled, we're presented to God as righteous, not because of anything that we have done, only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So outwardly, we're clean by the blood. The curse of the law is satisfied by the blood of Jesus Christ outwardly. So when we sin and mess up, we don't think that we're losing our salvation. That is a short-term thinking. Sometimes we think, well, if I've sinned, I've lost my salvation. That's an inward thought, because outwardly we know that the blood of Jesus Christ, if we've accepted him in our heart, we are saved by Jesus' blood. We're saved by grace. Our sin is what Jesus went to the cross for, and to believe that you are now destined to go to hell because of your sin is to really undercut the work of the cross if you know Jesus in your heart. So when we sin, we go to God, we ask that the Holy Spirit would help us to cleanse ourselves of our evil ways, our evil desires, that it would inwardly work itself out as we ask for help each and every day. But again, outwardly, we're cleansed, we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So think about this. If you sin, and then you walk outside and you're struck by lightning, does that mean you go to hell? Absolutely not. It means that outwardly, that the blood of Jesus Christ has satisfied my eternal destination, but now I have to work out inwardly to be more like Christ. And that's a journey that we're all on, and we'll never perfect it, because Jesus Christ is the only one that is perfect. And until he comes again, or until we go to heaven, it will never be perfect. And I know that's hard to hear, and that's not really super exciting, that I will continue to sin, I will continue to make mistakes. But thank God that he gives generously the Holy Spirit to cleanse us internally. That's a truth, the first truth we need to understand. The second truth that comes out of this scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 and 8, is this. Let me just read it one more time, the very beginning here. This is the one who came by water and blood. And we need to understand what that means and what it's trying to teach us. At the time when John wrote this book, he was trying to correct the false teaching that was circulating at the time. The thought was that that Jesus, as he came down to earth, was just a human, so he still had God in heaven. They thought that there was only one God, and he could only be one place at one time. So they thought God was in heaven, and Jesus came just as a man. And after Jesus was baptized, then God left heaven and he came and lived and dwelled in Jesus. So as he walked for his 3 years doing his ministry and his miracles, it was actually God in Jesus. And then when Jesus died on the cross, they thought that now God went back up to heaven. So again, John was trying to teach here. He's trying to say that that's actually a false teaching. And let me show you why they thought that. Because to think that way was to think anti-Trinitarian, anti-triune Godhead, anti-three persons in the triune God. In a sense, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So John wrote this to correct that kind of thinking. You know what unfortunately is that people still today believe in and try and use this scripture to prove that God is a God of, it can only be in one place at one time, and there's only one God. It's false teaching because it was written to correct that, not to promote it in a sense. So let's look at this a little deeper. In verse 7 here it says, "For there are three that testify, the Spirit, there's one, the water, there's two, and the blood, there's three. And the three are in agreement," or these three are in one. So there's three that testify. That's pretty crystal clear. And they agree in one. That's very, very clear. And if we look back at the original way it was written, it says that the three are in actually heaven. The three in heaven are making testimony. They're testifying, and they're all in agreement. This is the way John is trying to communicate this. So it's three different people, three different witnesses. So let's just see what they have to say. So if I think about the first one, I think about God the Father. Let's find God the Father in Scripture. So in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, who I love. With him I am well pleased.'" We can see that God the Father is recognizing Jesus at his baptism. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, we read this, "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" So at the transfiguration, we see God the Father again recognizing Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, "Don't believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father." So as Jesus was doing his miraculous works and powers, and God the Father is looking at Jesus and saying, "I and Jesus were together on this," recognizing his miraculous powers. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, "When the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus, they saw the earthquake and all that had happened. They were terrified and explained, 'Surely he is the Son of God.'" So God the Father is recognizing Jesus when he died on the cross as well. And the last thought around God the Father is in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. "And who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with the power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." So we see God the Father recognizing Jesus even as he's raised from the dead. We see God the Father at Jesus' baptism, at his transfiguration, all of his miraculous works, at his death, and at his resurrection. God the Father. Let's look at the second person here, and we look at Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 17. "Jesus said to them, 'My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working.'" God the Father at work, Jesus at work. We see the distinction there. John chapter 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." Again, we see Jesus Christ recognized here as the Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh and blood. In John chapter 2, verse 19, "Jesus answered them, 'Destroying this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days.'" Jesus is saying, "I will come back. I will. You see my works, you see my transfiguration, and you see that I'll be raised from the dead." We see the Jesus Christ. The third person here is the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it says this, "And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God.'" The miraculous production of the virgin's birth, we see the Holy Spirit showing up on the scene. In Luke chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and the voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love, and I will be well pleased.'" Again, in this piece of scripture, we see crystal, crystal clear the triune God. Had God the Father is speaking from heaven. We see the Holy Spirit descending in a sense like a dove, and we see Jesus Christ. You cannot dispute the triune God with that piece of scripture with any other doctrine. It's right there, crystal, crystal clear for us to see. I believe most of us understand God the Father. We understand God the Son, Jesus Christ. But I think we need to really understand a bit more of the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. It says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, "But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." We would see here that there's this teaching that God is driving out evil spirits. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit within us, we are not going to be able to overcome the sin nature of the things that go on in our lives. Listen to what it says here in Acts chapter 19, verse 15 and 16. "One day the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them. There were seven people at this story, and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I think sometimes we forget about the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. We look at God the Father in heaven. We say, yes, he's up there. Yes, I'll be with him. We look at Jesus at the right hand of the Father. I recognize that. He went to the cross on my behalf. But the whole teaching, it doesn't stop there. The whole understanding of the gospel is that then he gave us somebody. Then he gave us a counselor. Then he gave us a helper. Then he gave us God, the triune Godhead, God, the Holy Spirit. And if we try and live our lives and try and deal with our inwardly sin, our inwardly things that we need corrected, we will not be able to do it on our own. Do you see the story here as these seven gentlemen tried to go in and cast out evil spirits and try and clean up the house a little bit? They were beaten and they ran out naked and they ran out bleeding. Like, that's embarrassing. That is completely embarrassing. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit and we say, well, I'd like to change this year. I'd like to kind of fix that in myself. Or I'd like to kind of, I don't like the thinking that's going on inwardly in me. You will get beat up time and time again unless you have the Holy Spirit inside of you that will help you overcome that. So we might be going around saved outwardly because of the blood of Jesus Christ, but inwardly we could be so empty and getting kicked around by the enemy and getting beat up because we don't have the power and the authority of God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. That is a deep, deep understanding. I wish I had more time with you to spend on that. Please let us know. Give me an email. Give me a phone call if you want to talk more about that. But for this morning's teaching, you could see clearly here that outwardly the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us. We know where we're going. We know that we're going to heaven. We know we're saved. But inwardly, God is continually, day by day, working in our lives, working through our lives, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit desperately. Let me pray with you before we go. So, Father, this morning, as we looked at your word, we thank you for truth. God, we thank you that John wrote it to correct false teaching and false thinking. So thank you, God, that the truth of your word is evident this morning. As we look at our lives, God, we thank you for Jesus, for cleansing us outwardly so we know where our eternal destination belongs. God, but we desperately need help internally. We desperately need your Holy Spirit in our lives, correcting us and showing us the right way and helping us through our day-to-day lives. God, we thank you that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to direct us today and this coming week in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Whether you joined us online and you found us on YouTube or Facebook or our church website, we thank you so much for joining us. We love you very much. We'll look forward to seeing you again very soon.